welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Got a great show for you guys today. Got a lot of wonderful stuff on this Wednesday. First thing I want to start off with, Dad's getting logged in here in a second. We got a guest on the show with us today, which is going to be pretty awesome. But I also wanted to touch base. We talked, you know, one of our friends in the hospital after the HPV vaccine. Another one now, the Daily Mail reported on this. Aspiring 12-year-old pop star is paralyzed in just days after being given the controversial HPV vaccine. Maya Blesky, straight-A student, was received the HPV vaccine. The next day, her legs felt heavy. She had a burning sensation in her spine and feet, became shaky. Her mom became worried, took her to the ER. They were unable to do anything to her. She lost all sensation in her legs, core body, and arms. Now she is only able to blink and talk. She's having to be homeschooled and have singing lessons in bed. The sad part about this was when she admitted her to the hospital, when her mom admitted her in, the doctor said it was a form of self-harm and she was doing it to herself. They discharged her after a few days. They gave her no treatment and made her buy a wheelchair if she wanted one that they even had to carry to her car. This is classic what these doctors do after they get an HPV vaccine. They say it's all in your head, even though this can't be coincidence with tens of thousands of girls around the country having the exact same issue. I hear you just logged in, Dad. Are you with me?
I am, and we've got a great guest today. We have Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and everybody knows him from News with Views. He was the pastor who had a church in Pensacola, big congregation, and decided, you know, about eight or nine years ago now, I guess it's been, to move to Montana, up in the Missoula area, up in the northwest quadrant. Everybody knows Missoula, and everybody else knows the area up by called Whitefish. He's in that area in the northwest quadrant of Montana. Chuck Baldwin is a patriot. He's a personal friend of mine, and the last time we had him on, we had such a huge response with emails that I wanted to bring him back on again, because there's some things I want to talk to him about, the Trump administration, on the Council of Foreign Relations, and what's going on in Washington right now, and get his feedback on that. And he's a patriot. He's a great man, great leader, great pastor, and you guys need to support him with his website. Pastor Baldwin, you with us?
I'm here. Ted, good to be with you again.
Oh, Chuck, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to have you back on. Thank you so much for being here. What is your website? How can people find out more about you, Chuck?
Right. The website is Chuck Baldwin Live. That's all one word, ChuckBaldwinLive.com.
Okay, great. Chuck, I want to, several weeks ago, you brought up some information about Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, being part of the Chabad sect of Judaism, and also being part of some other stuff that was relatively interesting to me, and also how he was in bed with George Soros as far as with the cadre development. Have you heard anything else about that, since you and I seem to be the only two people on the planet that want to talk about that? And also I want to talk about how many members of Trump's administration now are part of the Council of Foreign Relations, and what do you think we're going into with Trump? Is he doing the best he can, or do you think he's been compromised? So I'm going to kind of let you go ahead and just talk, Chuck.
Wow. Well, let's see. You brought up several points there. Jared Kushner, yeah, of course. He's the son of Charles Kushner, who was, part of what I would call the Jewish mafia back in the day, and he of course went to prison for about 14 months for corruption and things of that nature. And he is in bed. The whole Kushner family has been in bed for quite some time with George Soros. George Soros funded, as you say, the cadre organization to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, and they have had a cozy business relationship for, well, as long as anybody can remember. Of course, most people don't realize that Jared Kushner himself is a lifelong Democrat. He still is a Democrat. He's never changed his political affiliation. He identifies with the Democrat Party. He believes in the principles and values of the Democrat Party. He, of course, is the son-in-law of marrying the daughter of President Trump. Now, what's interesting, and to kind of bring this up to date, is, in fact, I'm writing on this in my column that goes out tomorrow nationally. He has been given a brand new office by President Trump, in the White House. It's called the White House Office of American Innovation. Now, think about this. You know, it's a brand new office going to be run out of the West Wing of the White House. Kushner is already Trump's top foreign policy, domestic policy, and personal advisor, as well as America's de facto top diplomat, as Trump's top advisor on relations with China, Mexico, Canada, and, of course, the Middle East. Now, Kushner is assuming the job of Trump's top economic advisor. I mean, add all that together, what I just said, you know, and you know, how much of this White House is actually being run by Jared Kushner? I think you can make a pretty good argument for the fact that a good deal of Trump's administration is actually being led and run by his son-in-law, this Zionist Jew, Jared Kushner. He's working with Microsoft founder Bill Gates, Apple chief executive Tim Cook, he's Tesla Corp founder and chief executive Elon Musk. This Musk guy is a radical. All these guys are radical globalists, but Musk is, he's out there on a limb by himself. I mean, his idea is he wants to extend his globalistic utopia to other planets. You know, he's thinking in terms of galaxies and universal globalism. By universal, I mean the universe. I mean other planets. I mean, this guy is on another planet. I mean, this is one of the goofballs that Kushner has brought in as one of America's economic leaders. You know, they've already hosted sessions with more than 100 of these kind of leaders, these globalist, New World Order type leaders, government officials that created the new office. And basically, Trump is giving Kushner carte blanche to run this new office. Now, get this. Here's a quote that Kushner said just this past Sunday. He said, we should have excellence in government. The government should be run like a great American company. Our hope is that we can achieve success and efficiencies for our customers, who are the citizens. Close quote. Really?
Wow.
The government should be run like a corporation. The country's citizens are the government's customers. The purpose of a company is to make profits for the executives and the shareholders, right? Customers are viewed as a tool by which company executives and shareholders achieve the goal of making profits. That's not the purpose of government, Ted. You know that. So do I.
That's right.
Most of your listeners know this. The purpose of government is simply to protect the freedoms and liberties of citizenry. Putting it in business terms, the people of the nation are not customers. We are the country's owners. We are not something to be made a profit from. We are something to be protected as the country's rightful leaders. The government does not exist to profit from the citizenry. The government's only purpose is to protect the liberties that our Creator has given us given the citizenry by natural law.
Well, with Kushner's father being part of the Jewish mafia up in the New York area, and having served time for fraud or whatever he was served time for is in prison, and for Kushner being part of the Shabbat cult, which has been linked to the Mossad and to organized crime repeatedly, do you think that this is going to be something that's going to get worse and worse? Do you think Trump's going to open his eyes, or do you think Trump knows what this guy, who this guy really is, and what his background really is, being a staunch Democrat? I mean, how in the world do we get ourselves in this position, Pastor Baldwin, with this guy in the peak position, with Trump kind of running this entire organization up there? What the world's going on in Washington? I mean, did Donald Trump not become who we thought he was going to become? Has he become something else, or were we duped as a nation into believing that he would be different than Hillary? What do you think?
Well, I don't think we know his heart, and that, I mean, only God knows the heart, and that's the big problem that we face, isn't it? I mean, how do you judge a man's heart? The only way we can judge who he is by what he does. You know, by their fruit ye shall know them, Jesus said.
That's what the word
only
says.
Only God knows the heart.
That's right.
So we can only judge the action. You know, I don't know. Is Trump ignorant about the danger of these radical Zionists? Does he not understand, you know, the threat they are to liberty and to the American culture, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, he put his hand of blessing on his daughter converting to Judaism and marrying a Orthodox Jew, Jared Kushner. He obviously blessed that. You know, he claims that he is, you know, the best friend that Israel could ever have, et cetera. He, you know, so does he have a blind spot regarding the Zionists and their agenda and their true nature, et cetera? Or is he truly part of that cabal and he says whatever he has to say to get elected, like any politician would do, and then he's going to pursue the agenda that he actually has in his heart to pursue, which would include some of the things that we're talking about here? You know, no one knows the answer to that question. Only God and Donald Trump know the answer to that question. And quite honestly, I don't think we have to know the answer to that question, because it doesn't really matter whether this guy in his heart is you know, just a deceived individual, ignorant of what's going on, or whether or not he's actually, you know, diabolically a part of it. The fact of the matter is, we have to judge the fruit. We have to judge the actions. And right now, what I'm seeing in the first 2 months of the Donald Trump administration is not good. Okay? I just don't see this headed in a good direction. You mentioned the CFR. Think about this, Ted. He has already, Donald Trump has already appointed more CFR members and people who are from the business affiliate CFR than Barack Obama did in his entire 8 years in the White House. Now, the CFR is the most sinister, nefarious, globalist organization on the planet. And every president of modern memory, Republican and Democrat, litters their administration with CFR members, which is one of the reasons why there's very little change, no matter who gets elected. These guys are globalists to their core, and they steer the country toward a globalist agenda. And, you know, we were thinking that, well, Trump is going to drain the swamp, you know, he's going to move away from the insiders and the establishment, you know, he's an outsider, he's going to bring in outsiders. Well, he hasn't done that. There's a few good appointments he's made, no question about it, and he's got some guys up there that are not part of this New World Order cabal, but on the whole, he has brought in the same big government, globalistic, CFR, New World Order elites that have been in every major administration for the last, I don't know, several decades. So well, when you look at it in that way, we're not headed in the right direction.
Well, let me tell my listeners exactly what the CFR is, and I'm going to read this right off of Wikipedia. The Council on Foreign Relations was founded back in 1921. This is back when they were trying to do the New World Order already, with the end of World War One, with the Treaty of Versailles, with the League of Nations. And it's basically a United States 4,900 member organization, nonprofit, publisher, and think tank specializing in U.S. foreign policy and international affairs. In other words, like Pastor Baldwin said, they're all globalists. It is headquartered in New York City with an initial office in D.C. Its membership has included senior politicians, more than a dozen secretaries of state, CIA directors, bankers, lawyers, professors, and senior media figures. The CFR promotes globalization, there you go, free trade, reducing financial regulations on transnational corporations, and economic consolidation into regional blocks such as NAFTA or the European Union, and develops policy recommendations that reflect those goals. I mean, this is just from Wikipedia, and it's exactly what Pastor Baldwin just said, and he has put more of these people who are promoting globalism and brought more of them onto his staff than Barack Obama did in 8 years in the first 2 months. So right now, it's like you said, Pastor Baldwin, it kind of becomes one of those, well, we'll know them by their fruit, and right now this fruit's not looking really good. And tell me about some of the globalist members he's put in and what their agenda is, please.
Well, Munchkin is the head of the Secretary of Treasury. He is a Goldman Sachs executive and longtime CFR member. Secretary of State Tillerson is not a direct member, but he is a fellow traveler with the CFR and has been extremely close to them. He speaks at many of their conferences. He's involved in many of their meetings. The list of these guys is about 21 at this point, which, you know, George Bush Jr. had like 25 or 6. Bill Clinton had 38 or 9, something of that nature. So Barack Obama had 21. So, you know, again, Trump has already eclipsed Obama. He's still short of where G.W. Bush and Bill Clinton were. But again, he's only 2 months into his administration. So, you know, Admiral Ward was the a member of the CFR for a few years. Admiral Ward came out of the CFR very shortly after getting in because he realized quite quickly how corrupt this organization is and what their true goals are. And he made some very emphatic statements about the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, of course, which are both founded by the late Rockefeller and stated on the principle of globalism, as you've already noted. And he came out quite frankly and said that the purpose of the CFR was nothing more than to submerge the United States into a global new world order. I mean, that was... Now, this is back in the 1950s when Admiral Chester Ward spoke those words, and yet he spoke it from someone who had been invited in and someone who saw it from the inside, came out, and it, you know, was a whistleblower as to what the CFR was all about. So, well, you know, people that are not familiar with the CFR, all it does, you know, all you got to do is just do a little bit of research, like what you just read there with, you know, that very casual reading of the definition of the organization, and you know that how corrupt and sinister this organization is, and that Donald Trump, who wants to so-called drain the swamp and start things, you know, in new and clean house and bring in a fresh slate, and I mean, that's what he was elected for, that's what he said he would do, but that's not what he's done.
Well, some of the other members have been David Rockefeller, of course, chairman and chief executive of Chase Manhattan, who just died. He was also the honorary chairman of the CFR. Another person was Maurice Greenberg, former chairman and CEO of the American International Group. Another one was Tom Brokaw, which is kind of interesting. We all know who he is from NBC News. And then Martin Feldstein, president emeritus, National Bureau of Economic Research, and former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. Madeleine Albright, there's another name from the past that everybody wishing we could all forget. Margaret Warner, senior correspondent to the PBS NewsHour. Colin Powell, former four-star general of the United States and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was part of this. This list just goes on and on and on. John Paulson, president of Paulson & Company. Janet Napoliano, president, University of California, former U.S. attorney, attorney general of Arizona. Jamie Miskic, M-I-S-C-I-K, president and vice chairman of Kissinger Incorporated. There you go. That's a good place to want to work for. And this just goes on like a who's who of the people, like Timothy Geithner, president of Warburg Pincus. We know him. He was a United States Secretary of Treasury. He's all part of this. And these are all dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore globalists, wanting to bring us into a new world order. Robert Rubin, a co-chairman, former U.S. Treasury of Secretary. This list just goes on and on and on. And by the way, I'm reading out of Wikipedia right now. So this is not hard information to find. And these guys want to get rid of nationalism. They want to get rid of borders. They want to open things up to transnational corporations and allow pretty much the corporations to rule the world, which is exactly what you just said. Kushner said he wants to treat the United States as a corporation and us as the customers, not being part of the shareholders, to basically feed the need of the corporation. So this thing's getting pretty messed up, Chuck. I mean, what do you think the long-term objective of all this is going to be?
Well, we know what the long-term objective of these people is. The question is, you know, what is Trump actually going to do in this regard? And one of the things that I'm discouraged about, and this is the thing that bothered me back in the Bush 2 years, when G.W. Bush was elected, he ran as a conservative, he ran as a Christian, you know, and everybody along those lines voted for him, and they, you know, thought he was going to change the country and, you know, blah, blah, blah. As Bush started to, as it became obvious that Bush was not going to change the course of the country, that it was pretty much going to go along the same lines as Daddy Bush and Bill Clinton and presidents before him. You know, I began to, in my columns and on my radio show, I began to bring out these, you know, these factors and try to warn people, say, look, you know, we need to be involved in this. You know, we need to call him on the carpet. We need to hold his feet to the fire. It's not enough that he's a Republican. It's not enough that he's a Christian. You know, we as the citizens of this country believe in freedom and liberty. We're the ones that are responsible for our country. We're the ones that need to hold their feet to the fire. They work for us. They're not our bosses. We are their bosses. And we need to, you know, take a stand. Well, for the most part, churches, the religious right, the Christian conservatives, you know, all these people on the right, they just fell asleep. They just went to bed, took a nap, you know, adios. And, you know, Bush was able to do everything he did almost uncontested. And that's what I fear is going to happen with Trump. He said that he was this populist conservative. He was going to make all these changes. He's better than Hillary Clinton is what we keep hearing.
That's what we heard.
So they go back to bed. They go to sleep. And I mean, God bless him. Even Alex Jones is pandering to Donald Trump like I can't believe. I mean, he's just, you know, it's like once these fellows get in office, it seems like that our crowd, our guys, you know, that we were to be the watchmen, especially the pastors and the Christians and the people that know the Constitution, and I would include even some libertarians in there because a lot of these guys are really right on when it comes to liberty and the Constitution. You know, it's our job to be aware. It's our job to, you know, be the watchman on the wall. It's our job to sound the clarion call. And when things are going good, say so. Say, yeah, this is a great decision. That's a good decision. But when things are not good and it's a bad decision and it's an awful decision, we got to have the guts to say so. And right now, there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, look what happened with Obamacare Lite. This thing, Paul Ryan, the neocon's neocon, this guy is as much of a globalist as exists in 2017. He is the most pathetic Speaker of the House that I can think of. He makes John Boehner look like an angel. He comes up with this replacement for Obamacare, which is nothing more than more Obamacare, written up by the insurance companies, basically was a payoff to the insurance companies, didn't do anything to repeal the nuts and bolts of Obamacare. What did Trump do? He embraced it. He started pushing it down the throat of the congressmen, the Freedom Caucus guys in the House, guys like Thomas Massie in Kentucky, and Brad in Virginia and so forth. Those guys said, look, this is disaster. This is nonsense. You know, we weren't elected. This is not what we promised the American people. We're not going to vote for it. What did Trump do? He started twisting arms, started threatening them with the re-elections, actually started threatening the Freedom Caucus guys, the best freedom fighters we got in Capitol Hill, and he started twisting their arms and threatening them with the loss of their next election if they didn't get on board what became known as Obamacare 2.0 or Ryan Care. And they stood firm, thank God. They said, no, we're not going to vote it. They took it off the table because they didn't have the votes. Those guys made Donald Trump look like a wuss. What in the world was Trump doing? He was just trying to get a political victory to say, look what we did. We got rid of Obamacare. When the fact of the matter was, all they did was replace it with something that might have been even worse. That's the kind of political games that these guys play in Washington, D.C. all the time. But that's not what Trump said he was going to do. And that's not what people thought they were getting when they voted for Donald Trump. You know, Trump should have come out and said, this is a terrible bill, Paul. Take it back to the scrapyard. Bring back a bill that I can sign. Bring back a bill that repeals Obamacare. That's what he said he was going to do. Let's don't replace it with the same thing under a different name. Repeal the bill. He didn't do it. Instead, he did everything he could to help Paul Ryan pass the bill. Thank God it failed.
Well, I don't understand any of this because all he has to do is have a bill put before Congress. I repeal Obamacare, period. Done. That's the end of the
exactly.
bill.
Exactly.
and
exactly.
It's gone.
And that's just what he said he was going to do. That's what
and
he said he was going to do.
It'll go away. It'll go back to the way it was before Obamacare and be done with it and just start over again. Then he said he was going to allow insurance companies to be cross state lines as far as selling their policies. He hasn't done any of that. I mean, all of these things that he said he was going to do, it seems as though either he's forgotten these things or he's been told he's not going to be allowed to do these things. It almost to me, and I'm not willing to throw the towel in on Trump yet because I'm like you are, Pastor. I don't know what his heart is. Maybe he's just trying to stay alive swimming with a bunch of sharks. But the problem is, you know, we the people of the United States spoke very loudly and very clearly that we were done with globalism, we were done with the Clintons, we were done with the Bushes, we were done with the status quo in Washington, D.C., and so far all he's done in his first 2 months in office is give us a whole bunch more status quo. And so I personally believe that the constituents and the grassroots that elected him need to be sending letters and emails to the White House and saying, look, this is not what you said you were going to do. Why have you not prosecuted Hillary Clinton? Why is Hillary Clinton still walking around? What's going on with Wienergate? What's going on with the whole pedophile thing up in Washington, D.C.? What's going on with the Podesta emails? What's going on with all of this stuff that was released before the election? Why is none of this being brought to the public light? And that's what I want to see done, Pastor Bowl, and I think you and a lot of other people also agree with that. But I'm not seeing any of that. I'm seeing more of, as is, Washington, D.C., same old, what do you think?
No, I agree with you 100%. And I tell you, the other thing that's really bothered me so far about the Trump administration, besides the things that we've talked about on the show this afternoon, is he seems to be determined to take America further and deeper into war. And I think this is what's probably bothering me right now more than anything else that I see Trump doing or not doing. This is turning out to be a scary situation. I mean, let's think about it. Just in these first couple of months, here's what Trump has done. Special Forces troops and Marines have been sent to Syria. 82nd Airborne has been sent to Iraq. U.S. troops are being deployed to Yemen. Now, this would be in support of the Sunni Muslim Saudi Arabia government's war of aggression against Yemen. So don't forget that. So we're sending troops to support the Saudis. Our military presence on Russia's border has grown exponentially just since Trump became president. The U.S. Navy is encroaching deeper and deeper into the South China Sea. We're increasing troop levels in Afghanistan. The Pentagon is talking about sending troops to Somalia. Trump is calling for the biggest military buildup and spending in modern memory. I mean, think about this. We already spend more money on our military, we the United States, than the next 8 countries spend combined. Think about that. What in the world does Trump have in the back of his mind to do here? We have over 800 military bases in over 160 countries around the world. We invaded 2 Middle Eastern countries without cause, and we continually attack Muslim countries and Middle Eastern countries on a daily, almost hourly basis. And that's not enough. We've got to do more. We are ramping up military troops and military divisions and battalions and all kinds of activity in the Middle East and in Europe. We are encroaching on China's waterways in the South China Sea. I don't know. I tell you what, the way things are going, we are going to be extremely fortunate if we are not in World War III before Trump even finishes his first term. And when I look at all the problems that I see and some of the domestic things we've been talking about, I think Jared Kushner is a monster problem. And I know that, as you say, you and I are the only ones talking about it. Maybe so. But I think he's a monster problem. And for him to have the position he has in the White House, it's downright frightening.
Well, you know,
but
Pastor,
even as much as...
Go ahead.
As much as that disturbs me, what disturbs me even more is the manner in which Trump seems to be positioning our military for war. That should concern all of us. I don't think the American people elected Donald Trump to start more wars in the Middle East. I don't think they elected Donald Trump to send more troops into the sand pits over there in the Middle East. I don't think they elected Donald Trump to antagonize Russia and China and take America to the verge of World War III. I don't think that's what they elected Donald Trump for.
Well, you know, the bankers, we know, pretty much run the planet anyhow through their Council on Foreign Relations and all the things they do. They're the ones who actually started the CFR with the whole Treaty of Versailles in 1919. They're the ones who pushed Wilson to push all the ratification of that treaty on the United States, on the League of Nations. And the whole thing about this whole thing is this. This is such a disaster. I mean, a few weeks ago when you came out with that email on Kushner, I guess probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I started doing my own research on it, and I was told by several different large talk shows not to bring it up, not to talk about it. We weren't going to go there. I was actually chastised by one national TV talk show person who's been on radio and been on TV for over 30 years. I mean, to the point of him screaming at me, telling me to drop this, that it was fake news, that none of the stuff that I'd heard about Kushner was real, though I sent him multiple links linking everything back to news stories that were all legitimate sources, and I was basically just screamed at. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. Why in the world can't we have this dialogue? Why can't we talk about this? The radical Zionists have become so entrenched in Washington politics and so entrenched in the conservative mind of Christians that they believe that they can do anything they want to do as long as it's in the name of Israel and everything's okay. It doesn't matter who or what we hurt or who or what we kill or what country we invade or destroy. It seems to be all okay with these guys. It's not okay with me. And that's why I said, as far as me and you, we are the only two that are out there actually talking about this with the Shabbat thing that he's involved in, which is an extreme Orthodox sect of Judaism, which practices the Kabbalah, which that's a whole different story that we can talk about, which gets really weird. And so the whole thing is just nuts, Pastor. And so I know you only had a half an hour to spend with me today. What is your website again, and how can people get in touch with you? How can they support you?
Well, thank you very much. And by the way, I've been on a website with my columns for probably 15 years. I've written over 900 columns for this website, and I was just told last week that if I continued to speak critically about Kushner or the State of Israel, that my columns were going to be censored. And so I pull my columns from the website. But that shows you, that just augments what you just said. You know, the power that they have to intimidate good people. You know, I mean, even people that claim to be Christians, people that claim to be conservatives, constitutionalists, and yet they kowtow to the intimidation of these radical Zionists. And it is a major, major problem right now in our country. Yeah, my website, it's very simple. It's my name and then live, ChuckBaldwinLive.com. ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Baldwin, B-A-L-D-W-I-N. ChuckBaldwinLive.com. My columns are there. I know I have a series of messages on the Church in Israel, 2 DVDs, 8 messages where I go through the scriptures and show what the Bible says about Israel. You know, this has been, as you know, my story. I used to be an Israel First guy for over 30 years. I taught it, preached it, you know, believed it, regurgitated it, you know, learned it in Bible college, et cetera, et cetera. You know, then I started doing my own study. God awakened my conscience to all this, and I studied it for myself. And I didn't study human, you know, works and commentaries, the writings of men. I just studied the Bible. God opened my eyes to the truth about Israel. I've been teaching my congregation here in Kalispell, Montana, which is about 100 miles north of Missoula, by the way. And, you know, and so I've got that message series, 2 DVDs, 8 messages, the Church in Israel. That's on the page. So everything we have, all about me, is filled with a lot of information so people could spend quite a bit of time, you know, finding what they want. But it's ChuckBaldwinLive.com.
Pastor, do you have any closing comments?
Well, no, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, Ted. I mean, like you said, you know, you and I are the... And, you know, when you look at the national media and you look at our guys, when you look at the, you know, the so-called Patriot Radio, you look at the conservative media, what we're seeing is, I think, an unwillingness to deal with reality. You know, if Hillary Clinton had appointed the same people, which she could have, that Donald Trump has appointed, for example, some of these CFR people, you know, our guys would be screaming. You know, if Hillary Clinton was making the decisions that Trump has been doing relative to the military aggression, et cetera, our guys would be screaming. You know, it's almost like once you get our guy in, then all of a sudden we can't say anything about it. We just lay down and go to sleep and let him do whatever he wants to do. We lose our awareness, we lose our alertness, we lose our convictions, we lose our courage, and that's what makes these Republican presidents so much more dangerous in many regards than the Hillary Clinton types and the Barack Obama types, the liberals. You say, oh, he's better than Hillary. He's not going to be better than Hillary if he does many of the same things that Hillary would have done had Hillary been in, and yet everybody in the religious right, in the conservative realm, and the Patriot radio, and all the, if they lay down and go along with it, then it won't be better. It'll be worse. That's up to us. That's the problem. It's not Trump. It's not Trump's fault. It's not Trump's problem. It's our problem.
Well, you know, it's funny because I just a few minutes ago I had to meet with my CPA downtown, and I talked to her, and she said she just shook her head because she's our age. She said, I don't even know what to do, Ted. I mean, this culture that we're in now has gotten so decadent, so depraved. And I said, Sandy, it's our fault. It's our fault from 1950 up. We allowed this to happen. You know, when McCarthy tried to warn us what was going on in Hollywood and how they were changing the culture around us, we've allowed the international banking cartel to run amok after they got rid of Glass-Steagall with Clinton. I mean, we've allowed all of this stuff to happen, and now our children have become these millennials that basically have no direction or goals or focus in their life. That all they want to do is stay attached to their iPhones and iPads and be addicted to that with the dopamine release and the triggers that does. And now we've got this whole culture that's completely corroded. And we have us, the 50, 60-year-olds, who are sitting around going, hey, wait a minute, how'd this happen? Well, we allowed it to happen on our watch. We allowed it to happen with George W. Bush. We allowed it to happen with the Patriot Act. We allowed it to happen with the National Defense Authorization Act. We allowed it to happen with 9/11, with that bogus 9/11 report. All of these things have been done on our watch, and now we've got this giant mess that the international banking community has caused and has done on purpose because they control us through our fiat currency. And now we're sitting back going, what the heck just happened? And now we've got Donald Trump in. So it's like you said, it's time to go back to sleep and pretend like everything's going to be happy, happy again. And let's completely ignore everything he's doing, including who his son-in-law really, really is and what an incredible problem that Kushner is in the White House. He shouldn't even be there. Blows my mind. But Pastor Baldwin, I want to thank you for being on with me today. You're welcome to come back on my show anytime. I love having you on. You and I are on the same page. Guys, please support Pastor Baldwin. And Pastor, thank you so much. Again, I appreciate you. And I want all my listeners to pray for you and support you and do everything they can to possibly continue to allow you to get your message out there. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you, Ted, very much. And the same to you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Now, by the way, I want to add one comment here about this, about World War I. The origins, again, were from 1918 to 1949. The Rothschild Banking Cartel is basically the organization that spearheaded the entire League of Nations and spearheaded the Versailles Treaty and also spearheaded the surrender of Germany, which had not lost World War I. It was stopped by armistice, by just a simple ceasefire. Let me read you this. This is out of Wikipedia again. Towards the end of World War I, a working fellowship of about 150 scholars called the Inquiry was asked to brief President Woodrow Wilson about options for the post-war world when Germany was defeated. Now remember, Germany was never defeated. This academic band, including Wilson's closest advisor and longtime friend Colonel Edward M. House, who was a cutout for the Rothschild Bank, as well as Walter Lipton, met to assemble the strategy for the post-war world. The team produced more than 2,000 documents dealing and analyzing the political, economic, and social facts globally that would be helpful for Wilson in the peace talks to get our Congress to basically ratify all of this. The reports formed the basis for the 14 points which outlined Wilson's strategy for peace at the war's end. These scholars then traveled to the Paris Peace Conference. Again, this is the Rothschild Coalition, 1919, and participated in the discussions there. Now, they're not mentioning this was the Rothschild banking screws guys that were doing this. This is right out of Wikipedia. Guys, this Council on Foreign Relations is really bad news. It's like Pastor Baldwin said, they're a group of just a globalist who want to take over the sovereignty of the United States and basically destroy us and turn us into a giant world corporation. It reminds me, Austin, of that one episode on South Park that we watched years and years ago. I mean, I don't watch that because it's a pretty vile show, but there was one episode, it was funny, that I saw, gosh, it's been 15, 16 years ago now, in which there was a group of bankers sitting up on another planet looking down at Earth, lighting their cigars with $100 bills and saying, well, the Earth isn't producing enough now, we need to go ahead and just destroy the planet and start over again. Remember that episode of South Park?
Oh, yes.
You know, and see, that's
out of control. I think we don't support it.
Yeah. What's happened here is we have these Sabbatean Kabbalists. Okay, remember, Christians are Kabbalists. We have these Sabbatean Kabbalists that have come out of these sects, and they've actually ended up taking over the monetary system, taking over Hollywood. These Luciferians is what I would call them. Now, I'm not saying that Kushner is Luciferian. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that many of the people who are involved in the Shabbat sect are also involved in the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah, as we know, is the worship of the fallen angels, plus a bunch of other weird stuff. We've talked about that with the sorcery and stuff that we've talked about in the last few days on the show. So, guys, you know, when people like Chuck Baldwin are getting sanctioned now and getting censored and being told that his columns are not going to be able to reflect what's going on as far as what he sees the truth to be, that means he's taking a tremendous amount of heat from this. And guys, listen to me for a second. When we bring on people like Pastor Baldwin or Pastor Terrell and we start talking about this stuff, nobody else talks about this. You never hear Alex Jones talking about this stuff. Why? I don't know. Because everything I'm telling you is the truth. I never hear him talk about the League of Nations or what happened with the Council on Foreign Relations or what happened after World War I or who these people were from the Rothschild banking delegation. I've gone into detail in all of this, on this show and on Hagman's show. So it's a major, major mess. But let's get off this topic, Austin. What are your stories for today, bud? Let's start on some other stuff.
Yeah, well, we have a couple different ones here. But yeah, I really am glad he touched base on that now, because that really is something. I actually had that article earlier about him naming his son-in-law to head over that whole position. That's some pretty wild stuff that's going on now. This is an article from Florida. As we're starting to see, as I say this over and over again, I feel like I'm a broken record, but the universities now, the secular universities, are massively starting to embrace and even protect Islam and a lot of their violent rhetoric that they push now. A student down there, basically in Florida, in Lake Mary, is at a college, and basically a female professor started teaching that the crucifixion of Jesus was a hoax, and that his disciples did not believe he was God. He ended up getting into a big argument with her about it. She failed him on his next essay, completely failed him on it, turned him into the dean, and then filed a police report stating she did not feel safe because of the way he talked to her and that he was spewing anti-Muslim rhetoric towards her, stating that he did not agree with her topics after class, completely and totally out of control. Then one of the kids in class, who apparently was also a Muslim supporter, stood up and stated, that it was on record from another student, that it is good punishment for gays, adulterers, and thieves to remove certain body parts as determined by Sharia law. And long story short, they're still in the middle of a giant fiasco now, because then she got a restraining order against him because she said he still tried to come to class even though the dean told him not to. However, the kid now has video footage and receipt footage that he was in Daytona Beach with his father during the class that night and could have no way showed up at the class. So, and the sad part about this is, the school is completely protecting this Muslim female now. They're not even filing any false police charges against her because she's done this. They're completely saying that she was in her rights and she needs to feel protected, and that the student cannot spew xenophobic material like this in class. This is where it's starting to push now, where the First Amendment right literally is only okay if it's something that they allow you to say. We've seen this now over and over and over again, but now we're seeing it in the universities, and this is in Florida, actually about an hour down the road. So it's kind of sad to me, Dad. This is where we're headed, but this is where we're headed, man.
Well, when I spoke to my CPA today, you know, she was just devastated about what's going on with the culture, and it's because we've allowed it. Yeah, because the Hollywood, see, when the guy, you don't remember all this, Austin, and I barely remember any of this, but I remember some of it back in the early 60s, when we had what called, they call it the Red Scare, when the communists basically infiltrated, you know, Hollywood back in the 30s and 40s, and these are these radical, Jews that came out of the Soviet Union, most of them, and out of Germany, and they wanted to promote communism throughout the entire planet, and they knew that moving pictures were going to be a way to do that because they have tremendous power from a sorcery standpoint to be able to put the stuff in the people's minds in these images, and also to basically imprint this stuff into people's minds. And then Senator McCarthy came in and said, hey, we're not going to allow this, you know, we're going to give you guys, you know, and he had a list of these directors and actors who were all communists, and a lot of them were card-carrying members of the American Communist Party, and they were promoting their agenda to make us a godless society, destroy our values. And the reason they do this is because when they can make us so we have no values, then when they bring in a one-world, new-world order, they can destroy both Christianity, they can destroy Judaism, they can destroy, you know, Muslims. They can destroy everybody and say, well, we've got the answer here. It's going to be called Luciferianism, or they'll call it something else so you don't think you're worshiping Lucifer, and they'll have a one-world religion. And that's what the whole thing is about. This whole thing is going to do. This is what they're trying to do. This is exactly what happened in the book of Enoch, and also in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, when it said, all thoughts were evil all of the time. And this is what's going on. So we have to understand something, guys. When we talk about these Sabbatean Kabbalists that are involved in all of this stuff, this is like the only show that does that. I think Sheila Zelinsky does a little bit now too, because she's had Dr. Carell on. But I've been talking about this stuff for years and years and years, and I've openly talked about it on Hagman and Hagman, because this is a group of people that the Bible refers to as the synagogue of Satan. And this is not, Jesus didn't pull any punches with these guys. He looked right at him and said, your father's Lucifer, your father's the devil, he's a liar, from the beginning, and you're his children. I mean, that's who this guy, these people are that are doing this, and they've been around for a long, long time. And so we've got to understand this, and we have to understand what the root cause of this is, because pretending like this isn't real, and pretending like these guys aren't really sorcerers and magicians and do really crazy things, it's like deluding yourself. And we've talked about this ridiculous, you know, this, the ridiculous behavior of most Christians. Most Christians now want to be in a happy, happy church. They don't want to think about anything bad. They want to go in their church, and they want to be told how wonderful everything is and how they can think about it and pray about it and bring it in the past, which a lot of that is true because of the abilities we've been given. But they don't want to be taught repentance. They want to be taught holiness. They don't want to be taught the things of the Lord. They don't want to even be taught the Ten Commandments because it may interfere with some of their situational ethics. And this is not any good. This is bad. And so as Christians, we have to understand something. We have a set of rules and guidelines that God laid out for us. They're called the Ten Commandments, and also the words of Jesus that we need to live by. And if the words of Jesus, the Ten Commandments, are in contrary to what the world is telling us to do, we got to stick with what the Word of God says. That's one of the reasons I don't eat pork. You know, you guys say, well, it's not under the law. You know, we're not under the law. You're right. We're not under the law. We're under grace. But the whole point is this. It still pleases God to do what He wants you to do. And that's why I don't eat shellfish or pork. And when I realized that it was just all part of what God's big plan for us is as far as our health, et cetera, and now the World Health Organization says that pork's one of the primary causes of cancer globally. Again, God's word is vindicated and proven true as if it did, but it doesn't need vindication. It's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. By the way, Bill Paxel has his autopsy's in now. He was the one who was on many of the really movies from all over the place, including he was on the Aliens movie. He was on the stuff with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's done a bunch of movies. He's actually a very gifted actor. He died of an aneurysm. Now I want to share this real quick with you because he was having his aneurysm thing worked on and basically died from complications with a stroke. You have to have enough copper in your diet in order to maintain elasticity of the blood vessels. You also have to have enough vitamin C in your diet to maintain the strength of the blood vessels to prevent these aneurysms from occurring. The vitamin C and the copper in the diet will both massively reduce the risks of ruptured aortic aneurysms or even developing aneurysms to start with. It's one of the primary causes of, you know, death in the body with heart disease is because these arteries start to break down. When they start to break down, they start getting plaqued up by the body trying to repair them, causing a lot of the plaquing that we run into. Also, one more thing I want to talk about here on this story. When I read this, I had to read it twice because it bothered me so much. 15 felony charges now have been leveled against the two men who secretly filmed Planned Parenthood selling baby parts. Now remember, Planned Parenthood skated on this and nothing happened to them. But the guys who filmed them have 15 felony charges. California prosecutors on Tuesday charged the two anti-abortion activists who made undercover videos of themselves trying to buy fetal tissue from Planned Parenthood with 15 felonies, saying they invaded the privacy of the medical providers by filming without consent. State Attorney General Xavier Becerra announced the charges against David Danilden of Davis, California, and Sandra Merritt of San Jose, the two operate the Irvine-based Center for Medical Progress. The allegations say the pair filmed 14 people without permission between October and July of 2015 in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and El Dorado counties. One felony count was filed for each person. The 15th was for criminal conspiracy to invade privacy. I don't even know what to say about this. They expose a giant child body part trafficking network into a Luciferian elite who are basically using this stuff for rituals and certain, I'm not going to get into this stuff along with all the parts as far as, I'm not going to get into that either. It just gets too sick. And these guys expose it, and now they're being charged with multiple felony accounts, and they'll probably end up going to prison over this. But the NSA is allowed to spy on all of us without our consent every single day. Hillary Clinton was allowed to spy on everybody. Unbelievable. Barack Obama was allowed to do all that. No felony charge were put against them. Unreal. What do you think about this story, Oz?
Oh, it's absolutely out of control. It just goes to show you exactly how far and how corrupt the entire system is. I mean, these guys went in and recorded 14 individuals without their knowledge. That's it. Can you put on your headset, please?
I can. Go ahead.
They went in and recorded 14 individuals without their knowledge. Okay, I got that. But they have them on videotape stating that they're willing to sell body parts for money, that they're doing partial birth abortions early for money, that they're willing to sell all these different body parts and do all types of just sadistic things for money on camera. And the only thing the grand jury decided was, there's no wrongdoing here. We're charging them with 14 felony counts of recording people without permission and criminal conspiracy to invade privacy. Really? Are you kidding me right now? Two individuals went in with the sole purpose of trying to undercover a criminal child abortion body part selling racketeering ring that Planned Parenthood is. And it was so blatant what was going on. You guys remember, the charges were completely dropped in Texas. They already dropped all these charges in Texas. They already got charged for all the stuff in Texas. All the charges are dropped. Now California prosecutors started this back up. Attorney General Xavier Becerra in California stated, we will not tolerate the criminal recordings of a conversation. So they're basically saying right here that if I'm in a building somewhere and I'm secretly recording and somebody pulls out a gun and shoots the other individual and kills them, it's okay. They didn't do anything wrong. I'm the one who's going to jail because I recorded them murdering somebody against their consent and without getting permission. That's what they're stating here. That's how just bogus these charges are. The fact that they're recharging them again in California when Texas already dropped all these charges. The real criminals here, guys, are Planned Parenthood's. Planned Parenthood's political cronies are the only ones that are going after them now, and the globalist elite, because they're so mad that these guys shined a spotlight on their cockroach behavior. That's what it all comes down to. They're trying to make an example out of these guys to show everyone what's going to happen if anybody else tries to do this again. That's exactly what's happening here. There is no reason for these guys to have any felony charges at all. If you want to slap them on the wrist and give them a misdemeanor for recording without proper paperwork consent or a fine for not having a permit, some stupid thing like that, I could care less. 15 felony charges? Are you kidding me right now? They did absolutely nothing along the lines of felony charges. Where was the victim? You're trying to tell me that these individuals that were being recorded talking about engaging in illicit felony behavior of selling child body parts were the victims because they were being recorded without their knowledge? Give me a break here, guys. This whole thing stinks of globalist abortion rhetoric. All they're trying to do is cover it up, make it look like Planned Parenthood is a helpful agency that helps women and helps children when all they are, clearly as we see here, is an abortion for-profit agency.
I couldn't have said that any better. You're absolutely right. I don't know how else to phrase what you just said. I mean, you said something interesting in the beginning. You said that if you saw somebody being murdered and you were videotaping them against their will, and all of a sudden you get charged because you're videotaping the murder.
Yeah.
The difference is this. These unborn children that have been viciously ripped to pieces or partial birth abortion or whatever they've done to them to sell their body parts and their organs for the highest dollar, or intact brains, intact fetal tissue for coloring and flavoring agents in certain sodas, which I've written about before. I mean, this stuff is almost hard to believe. It's just sick. It's just satanic. I mean, they're making us eat our babies. I mean, it's just a bunch of weirdos. And the craziest part about all of this is they don't have any rights. These children have no rights. You know, if you kill a pregnant whale and you get charged with all these crazy felonies because you killed a pregnant whale, because now you've killed two whales, blah, 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 because the whales have rights. The unborn whale has a right. Our children don't. And it's sad to me. It's very, very sad. Guys, I want to thank you for supporting our show. I mean, we're it. I mean, nobody else is bringing this stuff out like this that I know of. I mean, this is some crazy stuff we're bringing out. I mean, even some of my best friends out there don't want to talk about some of this stuff. I mean, this is some weird stuff. But it's the truth, and you guys check your spirit. You let me know if you don't think I'm right. If you don't think I'm right, send me an email. Say, oh, I think you're wrong. We'll read it, and we'll address it. But I tell you what, guys, this is one of those things that you guys got to examine your own heart with, because, guys, listen to me for a second, please. We got some messed up stuff going on in Washington right now. We got a bunch of Council on Foreign Relations boys doing a bunch of weird stuff. And it might be like Pastor Terrell says, Trump's maybe just trying to do what he can do without being eaten alive by the great whites that he's swimming with up there, which are the international banking cartels, which are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, which are the ones that are basically practicing Luciferism, who want to tie us into the giant AI. I mean, this is a mess, and we've allowed ourselves to get into a situation like it was in Genesis chapter 6. We got to pray and pray and pray more. And then when we get done praying, we got to pray again, because this is something that's got to change. Guys, thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing these podcasts with your friends all over the world. God bless you guys. Also, go ahead and close. I'll go ahead and do the write-up.
Absolutely. And guys, you voted. We listened. You guys voted for the sublingual B12 last night. We went ahead and it won product of the week. It's on sale for over 15% off. This, in my opinion, is probably one of the cleanest, purest B12 formulas on the market. It's sublingual. It dissolves under your tongue. 5,000 mecograms per tablet. That is unbelievably strong. It's all assay tested with the purest bioavailable, bioactive B vitamins you can physically get a hold of. I've had numerous people that have been on B12 injections, and they've actually been able to come off of those injections and go with this sublingual B12 and have their blood count higher with B12 than they were with the actual injections. That's how strong this formula is, and it won. I don't think it's ever been on sale before, but it is now. So if you guys want to give it a shot, check it out at our website, healthmasters.com. You guys email us, call us if you need anything. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.